Welcome to the second Late for Church podcast. I'm Mary Jo Gerd. This one has been roughly over a year in the making, so I'm pretty excited to finally be here. As it turns out, the timing couldn't be better. During these waning weeks of this surreal, crazy year that is 2020, I think we're all searching for signs of hope and triumph. So I'm happy to share one couple's amazing comeback story. I got to know Deacon Daryl Neppel and his wife Mary shortly after he was ordained in 2017. He was assigned to Our Lady of Lourdes in Denver, my family's home parish. Through his homilies, we learned about his wonderful family and his impressive military background.
After high school, I decided to go to West Point. So I went to West Point, got commissioned in the Army. My first assignment in the Army was Korea. Second assignment was Germany.
Mary and Daryl met in Germany.
I lived in Minnesota and I became a teacher. And I taught in Minnesota for a couple years and then I decided to travel. So I went to Germany to teach for the Department of Defense, which would be dependent children. So men and women in the military would bring their families up to Germany, and then I would be teaching in the school. And that's where I met Daryl.
They married and eventually settled in Denver, where they raised three children. Their family hit an unforeseen obstacle when their oldest son, then a junior in high school, encountered a faith crisis.
Our oldest son was having trouble. He just didn't even want to be at church. He wasn't interested. He was probably a junior. Mm-hmm. And the younger, Stephen, our younger one, was fine about it. But John was really the one, he just has no interest. And so we're like, we're losing our kids. We've got to find a church.
So Mary rolled up her sleeves and took action.
I just went church hopping. And that's kind of a weird thing to say, but I just knew we had to do something. So we went to Cabrini, St. Francis Cabrini, and there was Father Cannelloni on the altar, and that was it. I said, we have found our church. John, our oldest son, had a conversion. He owed us, the story is kind of embarrassing, because he owed us some money because he and his brother were going to be working for a caterer. And he owed us, they both of us owed us money for the tux that they had to use. And so we said, well, you don't have to pay us anything if you just go to this retreat. It was a retreat, the Steubenville Conference here. And we had called Cabrini and said, what do we do? Where should we go? And the secretary there said, this is what I would do if it was my son. So we did. Well, they bought into it. And John had a conversion. And
at Steubenville, the Rockies.
Retreat that weekend now. And came home a changed person after his senior year. He discerned what direction he was going to go.
He was thinking between the religious, to be a capuchin or a diocesan priest. So he went to the seminary here. He made the decision to be a diocesan priest. And during that whole time, he's studying like all the seminarians. He's learning things that we never even heard about.
Right.
So we were like running to keep up with him. And Steve, in the meantime, is getting his master's degree in sacred scriptures.
As they watched their kids' faith being reignited, they were drawn deeper.
We just found ourselves growing in our faith.
How much of your kids' journeys spurred on your journey to the diaconate?
I wanted to do something in the church. I wanted to get closer to Christ. I wanted to get smarter in addition. So there was a little bit of a intelligent thing, but it was both that and a spiritual thing. I wanted to be stronger in my faith spiritually. And the seminaries seemed to provide both, and I found that out to be true.
I have to be honest, at first I wasn't really sure about the diaconate. It was 4 years and every other weekend, and then I didn't know, like, as we approach retirement, you know, how would that look for us, mm-hmm. and just the commitment of it. But as he went through those 4 years, he was learning and growing his faith and so happy. And just, it was just all that he wanted it to be. And I'm fine with it now and I'm on board. But I don't know why at first it was like, I was like,
sure.
I'm just not sure if that's the direction. I have to say, probably with Father John too, I just didn't ever expect he would become a priest. And so I kind of did the same thing too. And God takes care of that.
In April of 2018, less than a year after his ordination, Deacon Daryl, the picture of health, suffered a devastating stroke. His wife, Mary, was right beside him.
I'm sleeping in my bed. Everything is fine.
You're healthy.
And then, I was extremely healthy. I was a kind of CrossFit fanatic before that, so I was exceptionally healthy and quite strong. And Mary, I don't know, in the middle of the night, I remember I was trying to wake up. My mind said, sit up and put your feet on the ground, like it was trying to get equilibrium. I couldn't sit up. My muscles were so weak on that left side. So I'm like reaching at Mary, hitting her. Pull me up, pull me up. And so Mary wakes up, obviously. What's wrong with you? And then she comes around and she runs through the stroke test. Can you smile for me? It was crooked. Can you speak? Can you talk? I tried to say my name, but it was real.
Slurred.
Huh?
Slurred.
Slurred. I couldn't get my left arm up. So Mary grabs her phone. Siri called 911. But Siri didn't call 911, so finally Mary punched the numbers. She goes, this is so unreal. I've never dialed this number before. In the meantime, I'm having a massive stroke. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know it. You know, we didn't know what was going on. But it was pretty scary.
We prayed that night that his brain didn't swell. That was so huge. And people came to the hospital and prayed in the chapel.
Said the rosary.
100 people, I think, were saying the rosary. Yes. That his brain would not swell so that he didn't have to.
Because if the brain swells, it puts pressure on your brain stem, which controls your breathing and your heartbeat, and that's how people die. So yeah, I didn't have swelling. I was so blessed that night. It could have been disastrous. Yeah. I say I was triply blessed because I didn't die, and I basically could walk a little bit. I was still in a wheelchair, but I could speak after the stroke. Most of the time you can't do those three things.
Yeah, it was the right side of his brain, so it affected the left side.
He still deals with the effects of the stroke today.
At that time, I was still in a wheelchair. My voice was impacted, and I was really sad because I wanted to be the best deacon around. I wanted to hit it and get up there and preach and do all those things. But I was a little, you know, my balance wasn't great, and I was kind of nervous about what I could or could not do on the altar. What will I forget? I remember saying to Father Brian, he says, you come on up and assist me at Mass. And I said, but this brain, you don't know what you're going to remember or not. And he said, don't worry, I'll be by your side the whole time.
After all this happened, of course, we were aware of it in the parish. And I remember exactly where I was. It was in our transitional gym church while the church was being redone. Uh-huh. You walked in and there was kind of like a murmuring among, you know, Deacon Daryl's back. Back and because we didn't know, you know, we didn't know that that was the case, and of course everybody had been praying for you, and you know,
powerful.
And when you assisted at that Mass, I cried more than I did at my own wedding, and there really was not a dry eye in the church. It was so triumphant and so joyful, and it was a big moment for me in seeing this story of overcoming. What happens to us is the Christian story. Deacon Daryl and Mary's story here is our story. And I wondered, so that moment when you came back, that was so big for me. What did that moment mean for the two of you?
I'm thinking, I'm not gonna make it through the Mass. Mm-hmm. But it just touched my heart that I could be on the altar and the Eucharist right there. Oh, it was just a gigantic blessing.
I think it was powerful. I think we felt like he was there because of the power of prayer from all the parishioners and people just supported us. It's the severity of his stroke. It was amazing that he was standing there and being able to do that. Dr. Spear, his neurologist, said, you know, when I look at you, Daryl, and I look at your brain scan and what I'm seeing on this screen is like, two different people.
He said, you should be a severely debilitated man.
But that's not what defines this couple. It's their incredible witness of joy and determination in the face of adversity.
What was a blessing is they sent Father John home from Rome where he was studying. He was working on his doctorate. So they sent him home probably a week after it all happened. Mm-hmm. And to work on, he could study from here, they said. But every night at 5 o'clock, Father John would come to Daryl's room and say Mass. And what was really beautiful is there were a lot of people on the floor. Everyone on the floor, all the floor we were on were all brain damaged. The floor above us were spinal injuries. And they were all in wheelchairs at that time. And they would all just wheel into Daryl's room and Father John for Mass. And there was just a young man who was 20. The stories at Craig are so phenomenal. And his mother would come every day to Mass. She didn't speak any English. And every day she would just come with her son and he'd wheel in.
I'd go down to his room. Antonio, want to come down for Mass? Yes, can my mother come? Of course.
20 years old. And he had one leg was amputated. And yeah.
He'd bring his mom. They would sit through Mass and just made their day, made my day too, to have John do that.
Yeah, that was such a gift. It was such a gift.
Despite all their struggles, Deacon Daryl and his wife are grateful for God's hand in their lives.
An absolute miracle. So many people have told us that. People at church, people at the hospital, friends. You're a miracle. And I'm like, who am I to have this kind of grace and this kind of healing? You know, I'm just a schmuck.
No.
But I think that, you know, we all pray for people when they're in need. And I think when you are on the receptive end of it, I mean, you feel lifted.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. You feel lifted by the prayer because you really know that people are, I mean, there's no other reason we could ever say how this ever transpired because.
Exactly.
And we watched people at Craig Hospital too. And some people don't have their faith. I mean, and a lot of people struggle. And you don't really know. We ask the Lord all the time. We're really not sure why this happened to us. You know, and Daryl was just like so thrilled to be he wanted to be the best deacon he could be. And I was trying to be deacon's wife, whatever that meant. And we still ask the Lord, you know, but I think blessings unfold from it. And even some of the people that you've made friends with at Craig Hospital, you're kind of ministering to now.
I was able to go back to Craig Hospital and walk into a patient's room and ask them, you know, what brings you to Craig? I came because of my stroke. And normally they would be young people. 90% of the time, they're in their 20s.
They're all probably 20 to 40 years old. He is like 60.
Accidents, skiing accidents, car accidents. You know, I'm 10 times their age.
So you look at what's ahead for them. So Daryl was 63 when it happened, and his friend Roland next door, prior military, same stroke, same everything. He was there right next door to Daryl. And everybody else, I would say, is 20 to 40. So
but
you
just
know.
A blessing because I had been in a wheelchair and they're in a wheelchair. I could relate. I'd been through hours and hours of therapy. They were going through that at that time. So I could relate on so many topics.
You know, thank you so much for being a part of this. I think it's really important that we just always think about other people's hopeful stories and to take inspiration from that. And I am all about trying to find lightness and humor right now. And so I'm ending each audio cast on a light note, which is AKA a corny joke. So so until at least there is like protesting in the streets to stop me, but here goes. I'm gonna share one joke because you guys have done so much to help me, and now I'm gonna tell a stupid joke. Okay, here we go. A little boy was about to dig into his dinner when his dad leaned over the table towards his son and gently asked, "So, Bobby, aren't you forgetting something? Shouldn't we pray before the meal?" Bobby paused. He surveyed his plate. And then he quickly answered, "Nah, Dad, Mom's actually a pretty good cook. Unless you did the cooking tonight, maybe we should say a quick Hail Mary."
Yeah.
So, no protests, please. But this concludes the Late for Church podcast. Thank you so much to the Nepples. Thank you for all the inspiration.
Wow, thank you for inviting us.